Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Alpharetta, Georgia, it's time for Alpharetta Business Radio, spotlighting the area's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning, everyone. This is your host, Chris Deacle. In studio with me, I have three people that you'll find very interesting. They're in similar lines of work in two cases, and in one case, they will help you market and strategize better. But let's start with the people we have in the studio. We have Jim Lynch with Lynchpin Associates. He's our marketing and branding consultant. Carson Cowan, with the Carson Cowan State Farm Agency. We'll talk to you about State Farm and all the things that they offer, which most people don't know about. I happen to know about it because I've been a State Farm customer for a long time. Testimonial here. Great company, great service by the agents. And finally, we have Tim Kinning with Transamerica Financial Advisors, and he will be talking about the silver tsunami. So we look forward to talking to each one of you in turn. And so why don't we start with you, Jim? Welcome to the studio.
Good morning, Chris. Nice to be here.
So your background is with some pretty heavy hitters, Coca-Cola Company and UPS stores?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to have had a wonderful career with two companies, and I happened to hit the floor when both of them were in a high ascendancy mode. So it helped me develop and build my business career and my business expertise.
Well, and what did you do with each of those companies?
Well, across both of them, it was always in marketing and marketing-related areas, typically developing new business areas or developing new business markets.
Now, you've been all over the world with this, haven't you?
Last count, 62 countries, yes. Over 2 million Delta miles.
Well, yeah. That's really a perk.
Well, yeah, it can be a blessing and a curse. It's a lot of time away from the family, so it's nice to be out of that.
So what are you doing to entertain yourself now? You've retired out of corporate America and have opened your own business. Is that right?
Well, what I like to say is I left the corporate world for the new career. What I'm doing is trying to take my learnings, my experiences, and share them back with others. I think I'm not saying it's payback. It's more pay forward to help others develop their businesses and grow.
You work with nonprofits and for-profit corporations, I understand.
That's correct.
What are you doing with them, and what value do you bring to their companies?
Well, the overriding value is my business experience, which, especially on the nonprofit side, they're typically, in low inventory as far as true business practices and processes. So that's one thing I bring to nonprofit. In working with small to mid-size firms on the for-profit side, I'm bringing that same level of discipline, strategic assessment, and implementation.
Well, when you're talking to the smaller businesses, what problems do they have, and why do they have them?
Well, I've found actually, one's mindset says that for-profit, non-profit are different entities. They're just different from the standpoint of the balance sheet and the tax filing. Otherwise, they're very much the same. And so what I find typically is they understand where they are today in most cases. They think they know where they want to go a year or 2 years down the road, but they don't know how to do it. And it's more than just creating a strategic plan. It's helping them with their action plan, too.
So many people kind of have a vague idea, it seems like, of where they'd like to go, but they really haven't mapped out a path to actually get there. It's like taking a road trip without actually figuring out what road you're going to use. So, you help them do that sort of thing.
Well, I'm helping people get from seeing the destination 500 miles down the road.
Okay.
And understanding you have to have that in your mind that you're going to be 500 miles, but you have to take each mile and you have to drive the vehicle through each one of those towns. You have to understand what it is you're going to do. So you have to have a short-term and a long-term plan.
How do you bring along the owners and their key employees in the process of developing one of these plans so that everybody has buy-in to it?
Well, in the case of nonprofits, for instance, I served on the board of Salvation Army in Atlanta for 10 years. the last couple years as vice chair. And what I learned in that process was what I mentioned earlier about the missing strategic vision. We undertook a strategic assessment, developed a strategic plan, and then when the board and the staff realized we had to find a way to implement it, they asked me to come on as chief operating officer. So I did that for 2 years, helping to get everything started and engaged, and then left that one and went on to the next project.
Yeah. When you're working with a nonprofit, what are their big challenges? Is it organizational? Is it interpersonal relations, or is it just a strategic lack of vision?
Well, there's two things that I run into, Chris. One is you're working with a board. And if you're engaged as a consultant or engaged, as I was as the COO, you're working for the board of directors. The board of directors are volunteers, part-time. And so their goals and desires tend to be, let me say, lofty. That's not a negative, but, I mean, they just try to have a big view of the world. I need to help them come down to the daily requirements so that I can match staff resources and talents with board needs.
So when you're working with the for-profit people, you're having to do the same thing, but do it with the executives and the owner and get them to really crystallize what their vision is, where they're trying to go, and then help them develop the individual steps to get there, if I can kind of paraphrase what I think you just told us.
Absolutely. That happened in a project with the Southern companies, helping them, Georgia Power, Mississippi Power, Gulf Power, in terms of working with their major customers to quantify their needs over the next 10 to 15 years.
Yes. I know you got a MBA from Emory. That was an executive MBA, was it?
Yes, it was.
When did you get that?
1994.
Okay. And what did you think of the Emory MBA program, and what has that done for you?
Well, it's an outstanding program. It is one that I actually completed as I transited from Coke over to UPS. So it was a rather interesting time period for me. But I would say the Emory program, the Goizueta Business School, is a phenomenal program. Emory, I mean, I don't think I have to convince anybody here that it's one of the top. It's rated one of the top by Business Week. It helped me because I did this in mid-career, and I didn't get a raise. I didn't get a promotion or anything. It was for me. It was for my own academic renewal, and in that respect, it was outstanding.
What kind of things did you take away from that? In terms of skills or insights that you would not have otherwise had you not participated in that program?
Yeah, one of the key things was implementation of some technology skills. Now, that 1994 is almost 20 years ago, and we weren't there where we are today. But still, for me, as a mid-career executive, it gave me some insights into the use of technology and employing technology in business.
So a good program helped you a lot, I'm sure, as you went on with your career. Let's change subjects here a little bit and talk about foreign cultures and what did you find working with different people from different cultures? What insights can you give Atlanta business people who, since this is a very international city, there are some opportunities abroad. I mean, what lessons did you learn, and what can you impart to the people that are listening that will help them when they're thinking about working abroad or taking their company abroad?
Well, one of the most important things is don't get hung up on language. I know I've talked to a lot of people, and they run out and they buy language and take language classes, and they try to learn the language of where they're going. Just understand, by and large, except for some very remote environments, English is the language of business, so internationally. And so if you understand that, in most cases, you're going to be interacting with somebody who does speak English. I think of greater importance than the language issue is the cultural understanding, so that you don't put yourself or your firm into embarrassing or potentially legal issues in a given country. You have to understand that when you once you leave America, you're out of America, and you're operating in somebody else's environment. And you just have to be very sensitive to that and understand. And you can do a lot of research to understand that before you go.
I understand there are actually people here in Atlanta that teach how to behave differently in these cultures, that actually are consultants that will teach you those things.
Absolutely. One of the classic stories on that is the executives that used to travel back in the 50s and 60s to Japan. And, of course, Americans, what we do is we jump on an airplane, jump out of the airplane, run right to the meeting, and we're just ready to go. And they didn't understand the Japanese when they came to America. They'd arrive 2 or 3 days in advance. They'd play golf and so forth. They weren't falling asleep at the meetings. The Americans were when they went to Japan. So you just have to understand, how to go and what to do and understand the culture locally.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. And being sensitive, to those cultural differences, obviously, are important. Have you done any? I'm sure you've done a lot of work with the Mideast. How is that different?
Well, that was one where I really had to be very, very sensitive. I did a project with the Coca-Cola company and was part of a team that went into Saudi Arabia about a month and a half after the end of the first Gulf War. Kuwait was still burning. And when we got there, it was the beginning of the Hajj, the high religious season for Muslims who were on their way to Mecca. I took a flight from Riyadh to Mecca, or to Jeddah, actually. I was the only, not only American, but the only foreigner, Western foreigner, on the aircraft. It was all pilgrims. So I had to understand and appreciate what was going on and what I could or couldn't do and why it was therefore very, very difficult to do business in that environment. We were talking about reintroducing the product in the market after being out for a number of years. So it was a real challenge, and you just have to keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, and understand and appreciate and respect the local nuances.
And I think, as a culture, Americans are probably pretty good at that now.
Oh, it's a lot different than it was 20, 30 years ago, no question about it.
What have you found when you're working with these different cultures that negotiation styles are different?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For instance, one of the things I learned early in meeting with the Japanese is even though they were shaking their head yes, they weren't necessarily agreeing with you. They were saying, yes, I hear what you're saying, but it may be, no, I don't want to do it that way. And don't jump to the conclusion that you have an agreement. That's one very important thing.
Yeah. And that having these insights that you've gained from working with companies, with two big companies and dealing with people all over the world, I mean, that's a great resource for a local Atlanta business who wants to tap into the international market.
Well, it is, and one of the things I would hope to help folks with who are interested in having me help them with that is an understanding that you're a small company. There's different ways to do things vis-a-vis the international marketplace. I can't bring and expect them to respond the same way that a Coke or UPS does. Just the resource level difference is just too great.
But you can help them find the right path to take their product or service international, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Jim, I hate to cut us short, but we've got other guests in here. Can you remain in the studio with us while we move on to the other people?
Absolutely, Chris. I'll learn a lot.
Before we go, how do people get in touch with you?
The easiest way is on my direct line, which is 404-971-4755, or at Lynchpin, LYNCHPIN, at bellsouth.net.
Great. Everybody, if you need international experience, if you need someone to help you determine where to take your company and how to get it there, Jim's your man. So let's go over to you, Carson. Good to have you with us this morning.
Good morning, Chris. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and you've got the great radio voice that we're all envious of course. you could probably dub in for some of the Western actors on TV.
That's right. Well, let's talk after the show.
Yeah, we'll get you to do a voiceover and see if we can have you selling things on TV and on radio.
Sounds good.
All right. So you're a State Farm agent. How long have you been with State Farm?
Been with State Farm for almost 8 years, Chris, and we're actually a new agency here in Alpharetta, so we've been in business as a State Farm independent agent since January 1st.
Wow. So, you know, I know a lot of things that State Farm can do that'll surprise people, especially on the business side, because I use it extensively in my business. I would be very interested if you would tell our viewers a little bit about the scope of products that you have, both for the consumer side as well as for the business side.
That's a great point and a very valid point, because a lot of people really don't understand what State Farm has to offer. Because if you think of State Farm, Chris, what is your thought?
Yeah, I originally thought car, auto, home.
That's it. That's exactly right. And so I think most people think that, but in fact, we actually do home, auto, health insurance, life insurance, business, financial planning, retirement planning. That gets into the realm of college planning for kids, life insurance, annuities. It really goes far into depth.
Yep. What else can you share with us about State Farm and its philosophy of how it works with its policyholders?
Sure. Well, the neat thing about State Farm, and really why I've been around for so long with State Farm, is our ability to be customer-centric, and that's really something I look for in a company that I work with and certainly someone I'd want to represent. So State Farm's philosophy is really customer-centric. It's how do we provide the best possible customer service experience along with the best line of products to make sure those customers are happy with what they're investing in. And insurance is not necessarily a tangible product, right? So that's something I think most people think. I pay my bill monthly and I see this bill go out, but really, what am I getting from that? And the answer to that is peace of mind. And to me, insurance is one of the top three expenses in your household on an annual recurring basis. And so you really want to make sure those things, whether it's your vehicle or your home or your family's protection, is really with the company that's going to make sure that it's going to be protected when it's time.
Where do you see people underinsured?
All over the place, honestly. And most people don't recognize that. And I think that's a big challenge, because looking at someone's auto insurance, you might say, well, really, what do we have to lose here? And people think, there's not really a whole lot. It's just my car. But we're looking at your financial strength as a family, as an individual. And, we're looking at your life insurance. Well, if something were to happen to you today, where would your family be tomorrow? Something happened to you yesterday, where would your family be today? And asking those questions is kind of where I realize that people are underinsured, and maybe that income replacement for your family or making sure that home is insured if something were to happen is a big deal.
It is a big deal. And if they own a small business or even a fairly large business, their crossovers between both of these in terms of exposure of your assets.
Absolutely, you're exactly right with that. So, whether suits brought against you for your personal life or your business life, that's really something you do have to protect on both sides. And as a business owner myself, and all three of us or four of us can really understand is that I want to make sure that's continuing if something were to happen. And these kind of products, maybe your business insurance or your personal liability or maybe your commercial liability, those are things you want to have in place in the event something does happen, because if so, where are you going to go and where is that money going to come from to represent your company or yourself?
I was reading a little backgrounder you sent over, and I noticed that you said you have employment practices liability insurance, not-for-profit directors and officers insurance, condominium and homeowner association insurance, errors and omissions for technology and management consultants. Well, I'm an error and a mistake happening. I probably need to get one of those. And you do all sorts. In a wide range of insurance, but most people think of you as auto home.
Exactly.
Because that's what they see advertised.
That's what they see, and it's interesting as well. We do an array of financial services, so banking comes into play. We have, a lot of things that may not be evident in our advertising at this point with State Farm that you may see in the future is coming is our banking realm. And so we've got checking accounts. We do money markets. We do mutual funds. And we do CDs, Roth IRAs, those types of things. So mutual funds is a huge realm that we do that many don't understand.
And that'll be increasingly important, and I'm sure you and Tim will be talking a good bit about setting yourself up for a good retirement. and how important it is to take control of it yourself and not leave it up to the government or some benevolent employer who will give you the gold watch.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think we can all attest to the fact that things are definitely evolving as we speak, and then in the coming years, we're going to see lots of changes coming down the road governmentally and both professionally. And one piece of advice that I give a lot of people I work with, and I work with a lot of the young market as well as the older market, but people in their young guys in their 20s and young ladies and gentlemen in their 20s are really thinking, I'll deal with that later on in life. That's something I don't want to touch on right now. I just don't have the funding for that. And my suggestion to anyone out there that's thinking that in their minds, it doesn't matter how small or how large or what you're committing to that, but do something as early as you can, because those things compound. And the longer you have to work on those products, that the more return you're going to see.
So a broad range of products, great solutions, a personal service like you cannot believe in, and you cannot believe the service I've gotten out of my State Farm agent, not only solving a problem, helping me through some of their insurance, but going well beyond what you would expect someone to do to help you with the problem that brought you there in the first place. So I can't say enough good things about State Farm. So you have a testimonial on air here that you can feel free to use. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
The best way to get in touch with me, and I do have a team, Chris, of three in my office. Our phone number at the office here in Alpharetta is 770-864-5840. And my email address is carson@carsoncowan.com. That's carsoncowan.com.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. Can you stay in the studio for our last guest?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, Tim, it's good to have you. Now, before we can breathe air or come up and do anything else, I've got to read this disclaimer that will keep us all out of jail. I don't want to get a dear felon letter from your attorneys.
Please don't.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Transamerica Financial Advisors, Inc., TFA, Transamerica Financial Group Division, member of FINRA, SIPC, and registered investment advisor. Non-securities products and services are not offered through TFA. Now that the attorneys have been mollified and taken care of, welcome, Tim Koenig.
Well, thank you very much, Chris.
Koenig, I'll get this right in a minute.
Not a problem, Chris. Thank you.
You're obviously an investment advisor and with a very, very large company who has a nice building out in California.
That we do.
Yep. The world is changing, and I mean a lot of us who know more about perhaps the silver hair, that's not gray, people, that is silver. There are a lot of us coming out of the pipeline now. You called it the silver tsunami. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's an interesting term that it's been coined recently. The more commonly known as the baby boomer generation. This is a group of people that was born between 1945 and 1964, which I'm on the tail end of. But after the Great War of 1945, men came home to have families. And boy, did they have families. 92% of the women who could have kids had kids. And the average was 4 kids per woman. So you're talking about a huge growth here. This group now accounts for about 73 million people in this country. That's over or somewhere near 25% of the current population.
Wow. I mean, that is a huge bunch of people. That is an enormous tsunami. That's like the thing that came ashore in Japan. What impact will they have on the economy, going through it now, but then as they come out of
it? Well, it's amazing what has happened throughout the history in the last 40 to 50 years with this group. I don't have the exact statistics here, but if you look back at the impact this generation has had and all the different industries that they've impacted, all the way from their infancy with the baby food, diapers, toys, bikes, entire industries were designed around this whole group that was growing. Then later on, cars, the leading edge, the Mustangs, 1965, you remember that. At the time,
unfortunately, I do.
But that was the leading edge of this group. And then the later edge, as they started to have their own families, the minivan. and how popular the minivan became, then the housing boom, and then the historic investment boom that we had in the 1980s and 1990s, it's not hard to see the industries and the impact this group has had as they've aged along. Just look at the recent success stories and the rebirth of Harley-Davidson, and then the purchase of RVs and RV sales. And here's a real statistic that you can really take to the bank. Starting January 1st of 2011, there was approximately one person turning 65 on the average of every 7 seconds in this country. That's anywhere from 10,000 to 11,000 people turning 65 every single day. And that's going to continue now for the next 16 to 17 years. Can you imagine that?
Should we change our national anthem to say, you know, something along the lines of, you know, and home of the gray?
Home of the great gray or the great tsunami, right?
Exactly. So as the group ages now, you know, coming out, you know, now that this, you know, wave has gotten to, you know, the pig is beginning to come out of the python. What changes are you expecting in our economy, and how is that going to impact the financial services industry?
Well, you can see the obvious troubling issues in our social welfare system that is now brewing, and it looks like it's a potentially disastrous storm ahead that is out there. Some of the details are just too troubling and way too expensive for us to talk about here in any detail. But we also know that there's going to be some massive need in many industries, such as healthcare, elderly care, elderly housing. But I am sure that the industries that are out there that we know of now, there's many of them that we don't even know exist that will bloom because of this aging population. But I am certain that this generation will have a significant impact on the financial services industry like never before.
Interestingly enough, we've had a number of people in the home and senior health care on the show that, you know, the senior homes that are popping up and things like that, and in home care that, you know, previously there were a few, but now, I mean, it's an industry. You're exactly right.
No, there's many industries that have developed from that. But some of the things that we're seeing in the financial services area that we've seen, we saw the big growth in the markets, how they just grew exponentially in the 1980s and 1990s. Now, as they're aging into this retirement age, we're starting to see this shift from accumulation to a shift of retirement income generation, the guarantees of income. We have a very, very low number of pensions today. Matter of fact, that number is in the 12 to 15% of the companies in this country currently offer pensions. So as this shift continues, and then also the great generation, the World War II generation, the grandparents are passing away, and as they do, they're leaving inheritance to the baby boomers as they retire. So what you're seeing is a huge shift in the actual way they're looking to invest, because we're going from what's called an accumulation-minded situation where everybody was saving in 401ks, IRAs, investments. Now they're looking into distribution. How do I use this money now that I am retired? This group needs prudent ways to generate this retirement income without running out of money. Some of the things that are really, I'd say, astonishing now is there's a great degree of fear that most people have not put away enough money. And matter of fact, the recent survey just came out, 2013 Retirement Confidence Survey, which is compiled by the Employee Benefit Research Institute, showed that there is an alarming lack of confidence in the ability for a great number of Americans to retire comfortably. And matter of fact, the number is 28% of Americans said they're not confident that they've saved enough money for retirement. That is the highest figure in that 23-year history of that survey. And the other surveys bear out the same. Well, they're not very good.
So, you know, from a financial planner's perspective, you have baby boomers that are coming into an inheritance from, you know, their parents, and there will be undoubtedly situations where there's going to be a need for real wealth planning on the part of today's silver tsunami generation. How do you help those people?
Well, it's a very multifaceted and complex question with so many variables. And some of the things that we work on is one, we see that the saving rates certainly have been way too low for way too many years. And so many people are living paycheck to paycheck. And then this economic downturn of 2008 has given us a long-term hangover we have not been able to completely shake. So this aging group needs desperate help as far as the difficult times that we've had also in the last 10 years in the market. The markets have gone up, they've gone down, they've gone back up again, but the overall result has been very minimal returns over that period of time. Now, everybody's 10 years older and has not had a real rate of return on their money for the last 10 years. Add the aspect of the government issues that we're looking at here that could have some tremendous impact for the future retirement of these individuals. But I'll tell you, there is going to be a great amount of money searching for new investment strategies that include an emphasis on secure retirement income. That is definitely one of the areas you have to focus on, is how can I provide for my family and myself through those long-term periods of retirement? Because you're saying long-term now, our grandparents' generation, they would typically die in the 60s, maybe early 70s, but now we're expected to have a lifespan of 90 years. Anybody turning 65 today has a 1 in 4 chance of living to 92. So the other factor that's really important in our industry, and most particular, is that somewhere in the neighborhood of 58% of these people do not have a professional advisor. That means there's trillions of dollars out there on the move, and more than half of these people have no trusted advisor to guide them.
That's amazing. What do they miss by not having a trusted advisor like that?
Well, things have become so complicated and complex out there, and I don't believe that people in their retirement ages should be out there looking to find the alternatives themselves, because they're just you just go on the internet yourself and just pull up just the word annuity, and you'll see the list. It'll probably be 1,000 pages. So it's just too confusing, too complex. And yeah, I know this sounds self-serving, but I believe they need to seek professional advice with their retirement money. And I've been in this industry for 26 years. Mm-hmm. I've seen tremendous change in that period of time. But what I'm seeing now is that change is coming even at a faster clip than what we've ever seen before. A trusted advisor, in my estimation, is a worthy consideration. And I don't think anybody wants to spend their golden years searching the internet to find what's the best retirement solutions for them. I'd say find the experts, whether it be me or someone like Carson. We certainly have the expertise and the background to do that.
And, you come from large regulated companies that are solid, have a long history of helping their customers and will into the future. So that's kind of a security blanket.
Well, yeah, and we've had our issues in the industry, and it has been tarnished over the years with issues on Wall Street. But in the last decade, we've seen a lot of volatility, and what we've also seen is a lot of loss of advisors. We have lost somewhere between 30 and 50% of the population of the advisor community. The ones that are the veterans are now in the golden years themselves. So there is a broken system that needs to be repaired to bring new blood into the system, to bring young advisors on. Mm-hmm. We see that at Transamerica Financial Advisors. We see the opportunity for entrepreneurially minded individuals to look at this as a golden opportunity to take advantage of the silver tsunami.
Mm-hmm. So if you have an interest in helping people and are somewhat financial-minded, business-minded, might be a good career.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, as you say, 73 million people. Mm-hmm. The numbers are staggering. Trillions of dollars that is going to be searching for a home that needs to find secure retirement solutions. We just simply don't have the amount of advisors out there to help these people get through. And that's what our target is right now, is to look for solid, entrepreneurially minded individuals that are looking to help these people get through this on sound footing, because either that or we're going to have to rely on the government, and we know where that gets us.
Let's see. There's that small storm in New Orleans, I think. We won't have any flooding. Don't worry. So if people want to get in touch with you, and find out more about Transamerica's financial planning and services, or maybe about a career, what do they do?
Well, first place, we've got a website that we've dedicated entirely to describe what we've just spoken of as a silver tsunami and the opportunities that lie in that. That website is www.nae2013.com. Once again, it's NAE 2013. That stands for North American Expansion 2013. They can also go to our direct website, which is www.tfaconnect.com. That's T as in Tom, F as in Frank, A as in Adam, connect.com. And certainly, they can always reach out to me personally and call me. My direct line at my office is 770-418-0300. That's 770-418-0300. My extension is 118. And they can always email me at tim.koennng@tfaconnect.com.
Well, Tim, it's been great having you in, Carson. You know, our stand-in for Sam Slade. And, Jim, it's been a pleasure having you with us this morning. If you have a business who has a story to tell, a great service or product, we're always on the lookout for having you in the studio. Drop us a line at chris@businessradiox.com. We'd love to see what you've got, and if you meet our criteria, we'd love to have you on. So thanks so much, everybody, for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.